open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Linnegan, and I'm with...
James Rich.
Hello, James Rich.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
Oh, good, good, good. So last week we had Pastor Tom, and we were talking about seeking the kingdom first. And I believe that's like one of the foundational scriptures that we stand on in kingdom recovery and Coffee with Christ, is to seek him, his ways, his will, his word first, and all the things that we are assigned to do. We might think it's our plans, and sometimes we do, and sometimes we believe it's our plans, and we try to fight the flow and continue. God bless you. God bless you. Uh-oh. God bless you. Three times. But it's God's plan. When we let go, when we're not in God's plan, it feels like we're being stretched more or resisting. But when we let go and go with God and his word, and we line up with his word, you start to sense a flow, even in the chaos. And the reason why I'm even talking about this is because I'm experiencing it now in my life. I got a lot of, it feels like there's a lot of balls in the air and things are going on, but there's a flow that's happening that God is making the time, the space, the way for me to be in all these different places that I need to be. To do that and revealing what needs to be done, which is really awesome because I'm more aware of his presence as I'm doing them, because it's only through him that these things, because I'm sitting in the car, I'm like, how did I even get this time to be able to do this next thing? He did it, you know? So last week we talked about seeking the kingdom, and we're doing that in the 12 steps, how the word of God and 12-step programs, the 12-step of recovery programs, not only for drugs and alcohol, but for everything. You know, we all were born into sin. I was telling my brother, matter of fact, last night, I'm like, Frankie, no one teaches us how to be, we're always being taught how to be good, how to be nice, how to be, you know, share, how to do all the good things in life. Nobody teaches us how to say, give me, mine, all the bad things. We just instinctually are born into behaving that way. A parent is teaching a child, usually 99% of the time, the right way to do something. That's what God wants to do for us. And he was like, well, I never really thought about it like that. But, you know, so we want to seek his righteousness, his way. And the other thing I wanted to share is about the workforce discipleship program that's in Fort Pierce. It's from the Love Center. It's a program that's going to be offered for people who are working and are homeless or struggling with paying rent, and they need a place where they can go to be housed. There's housing, and there's programs offered there, mentoring, leadership. It's a safe place to be, spiritual growth and mentor, entrepreneurship programs, and I'm going to be part of that, and I'm really excited. And I know, James, you're part of doing some deliverance, and you've been teaching on that lately in another part of Fort Pierce, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? So, and we would like to, you know, if there's a number you want to share or a place that you're doing that, you can share that too, because people, I believe, are seeking, and wanting more and need some resources. So they will be running programs in the discipleship, workforce discipleship center. And along with the housing, they provide some meals and programs. And I'm going to be part of the spiritual program, which I'm very excited about. And it's for men and women. So you can always contact me, 631-745-7980 for that. You could also go on workforcediscipleship.com, the website, and it'll give you all the information if you know someone or if you're interested yourself. And James, where are you doing your classes?
I believe it's called the Life Center. It's a church.
Amen!
On Jenkins Road, when you go, it's between Edwards Road and Virginia Avenue. It's the one on the east side. And we're generally doing Monday nights, but I think it's Wednesday night this week. We had to move it. But it's usually Monday at 6:30.
Amen.
And next week it's for one day. I think it's Wednesday. I've got to check on that. But it's but mainly right now, because we're going to get into deliverance, but they haven't even heard of any of this stuff, but we're just having a lot of healing. So a lot of people coming, being, you know, a lot of healing of eyes and ears. And
that's good. So if you want to, and it's not only just, laying of the hands, it's also teaching people, because we have to learn about what we've already received. And that's when, the truth is what makes us free.
Yeah, so, and haven't got to do a lot of teaching yet. A little bit, got to be, because they didn't even know healing existed eight weeks ago, and now all this is really happening there a lot.
Amen.
So trying to go in easy. So
it's good.
We're gonna probably do, he said, like as we can, when we can bring a cough about deliverance and stuff, that on a different night, and then I'll just do the classes.
Good.
And deliverance.
And we'll share that with the listeners, because I think it's important. That's how we met. I went to one of your classes. That's how we met, and that's what, 10, 11 years, 12 years ago.
And that's why I was explaining to you that, because Luann heard it from the beginning, she thinks everybody knows about it. And I'm like, well, we're on the radio. They don't even have a clue about deliverance. Like most people, 95% of listeners haven't actually been through any deliverance. So
we've
got to bring it to basics, or else they have no clue what we're talking about.
And I do believe, and that's really important what you just said, and I do believe that's why God has used me and is continuing to use me in the 12-step program, the way we think in recovery and all that, as it applies to deliverance. And, from step one all the way to 12, I see deliverance.
Amen.
That's what it is. That's what he came to set us free, so that we can be his eyes, ears, hands, mouth, everything that he needs for us to be for him. So, and without true deliverance,
When you look at Bill's life, I'm sure just the stuff he says in there and understanding forgiveness the way he does, I guarantee them pastors were helping him doing deliverance.
Amen.
You can just tell.
Yes.
Because it's the perfect form.
It is right. Exactly.
I mean, than even most of the church does. Just the stuff he says in there, if you know deliverance, you're like, man, he must have been.
And that's why when I started learning about it, I saw deeper in the literature, because I knew what God was doing at that time when they first started the AA programs and the 12-step program, because it was so clear to me because of that. Because of when you seek the kingdom first, then he reveals what's really going on around us, because we can see him.
Now, I remember how you even knew what self-pity was, and I was like, you didn't know it was a spirit yet, but you were like, I'm like, wow. Most people, you got to bring that across so slow, because it's just a name of a spirit that causes all depression, suicide, and all that. And if you aren't willing, because everybody gets attacked with that.
Right.
If you aren't willing to even receive the name of it, you can't really get free of it,
Right.
You were like, I was talking to you and Luann, and I was only knew her about 2 or 3 weeks, talking to her a lot about the Lord on the phone, and you were just excited. You're calling 18 times a day, which was good. It excites you when even like this guy.
I thought I was crazy at first.
But then she's like, well, I got to go to a meeting because I got to get out of myself, and the best way you can do is to help somebody else. I'm like, man, I couldn't quite tell you that was the spirit of self-pity that you were, but the way you were handling it is the perfect way. I'm like, man, she's doing better than the ones I'm teaching, just dealing with it, to get your mind Because when you are, when you're depressed, which is that spirit, if you can get your mind on somebody else.
Amen.
But it don't want you to. It wants you to concentrate on how bad you've got it and right. what's happening in your own life.
Amen. So step nine is about, you know, making direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them and other. And I want to go more into detail on that. But what we past talk about, and we did the intro basically with the ending of eight last before Pastor Tom was here. And I also want to mention we're listening to WCNO.
Yeah.
I like to say that because, you know, sometimes people are turning the channels. And this is WCNO 89.9. And the number here is 772-221-1100. If you need to get in touch with me or if you want to share something with other listeners, you can, you know, call and we'll read it out loud. If there's something that's touching your heart or God has spoken to you about something we've been teaching on, we love to hear that.
Questions.
Or even questions, okay. Correct.
Especially deliverance, you don't know anything.
Yep. If you have a question, just, you know, that's the Holy Spirit tugging at you, and just ask, you know, that it's really important that we ask. So the week before last, we talked about the fruit of the eighth step was brotherly love. You know, and the fruit of step nine is discipline, because this is so good, because 10, 11, 12 is really about discipleship. So discipline we need in order to be a disciple, right? So I believe it's appropriately here to be disciplined to obedience, because when we love, honor, and obey, that's why it's in our vows, even with one another. Right? That's our love with God first. If we have it with God first, which Jesus came and supplied all we needed for that kind of relationship with God, then we can have it with others. And so the ending of step eight is the willingness. It's writing people, places, and things down. Willingness to be able to step into the discipline of actually acting upon that. So step eight was made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And in Matthew 6:14, it says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, and this is why we did four and five first, because we should be at a place, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We should be at a place before we do step nine where we're not hating the world anymore. Now we're looking at ourselves like, what was my part? Not what everybody, people, places, and things did to me. I should be past that and at a place where I'm, and even if I'm not totally past it, I'm at a place where I'm on a journey understanding that, you know, forgiveness is the key. We really need to forgive first. I can't ask for forgiveness if I'm having a hard time forgiving.
And just know when you do start working on it, the enemy, he's sly. He'll start attacking mm-hmm. your loved ones, your kids, or your spouse, or someone to... and bring it in a different way where you're just totally not even realizing you're back in it, because you're forgiving everybody that's done something to you, but then they touch your kid. It's totally,
yeah,
it's tricky.
And we could always, forgiveness, well, for giving, God gave us forgiveness for giving to other people. So if we don't have it, we can't give. And the other thing is, you can make it, it's a choice. You can make a decision to forgive someone daily, just keep saying it, and eventually as an act of my will, make a decision. I choose to forgive so and so. Even if you're not truly sold out into that yet, just keep saying it, because our words, our declaration is really important, because we manifest what we're speaking. So if you continue to just manifest, to speak the word, I choose to forgive so and so, or that thing, or whatever it is, as an act of my will, because it's your choice. You have free will. You get to choose if you forgive. Then your Heavenly Father can forgive you. And then when you go, it's not about people, their response to you, your amends.
Yeah, Jesus is the judge. We're not the judge.
Amen.
And the enemy, again, is slick, because I had a guy, I forget what he needed. He needed healing or something. And finally ended up, because he wasn't getting healed when I was praying and I was digging, and ended up a girlfriend he had 17 mm-hmm. years earlier. He's married with children and at the time. And then he got healed. And when I was leaving, I said, just know that girl's going to call you. He said, man, she moved out of the state 17 years ago. I don't know where in the world that girl even lives. I turned around and pointed at him and said, "You don't know demons." And I walked out the door. The next day he called. "Oh my God, I can't believe it. That lady called me." I was like, "Of course, they're trying to take you back under."
Amen. And there are certain...
So the point of that is just, if you are forgiven, don't be surprised when the person you're having a hard time forgiving starts doing stuff to get you back.
Amen.
It's not him, it's the enemy using him.
Amen. And sometimes even when you're, as an act of my will, you know, there are certain people that will pop up and I know that there's something I need to do. You know, like that's around, mm-hmm. Okay, here it comes, you know. So Leviticus 6:1-7 says, "The Lord," and this is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. This is step 9. So now we're getting ready to, we're going to go out and we're going to make amends to people. And we need to be, have someone that we can talk to about this, because sometimes there are amends that we can't go to the person because it would injure other people around them or in the situation. So we need to use our wisdom. And when we're at this point in step 9, we should have already character defects, shortcomings, all these things are things we're practicing on a daily basis. It's a daily reprieve. We can't expect yesterday's manna to be fresh for today. Right? Even a day old is not what God wants. He wants fresh bread every minute, every day. So, I mean, I can have fresh, stale bread in an hour, and he wants to give me fresh bread because I choose to, you know, act like a fool sometimes in my thoughts first, then in my mouth, and then eventually I'm acting it out. So that's the process for me. Once I start thinking it, then I start speaking it, then I'm doing it. And I try to nip it when it's in the mind, you know? Yeah. And I'm sure people are identifying with this because it's the human nature of, you know, being in this flesh. However, my spiritual man does not have to do that. It knows how to deal with the human nature. Amen. So in Leviticus 6:1-7, I'm going to read it because I think it's really important, because it talks about all the ways we can offend people. Okay, the Lord said to Moses, "If anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving a neighbor about something entrusted to them or left in their care, or about something stolen," so entrusted, care, stolen, "or if they cheat their neighbor, or if they find lost property and lie about it," lost property, so that could be, you know, taking things from other people, all right, "or if they swear falsely about lying, about any such sin that people may commit, when they sin in any of these ways and realize their guilt, they must return," that means go back, turn back, "what they," go back, return it, "go what they have stolen or taken by extortion, or what was entrusted to them, or lost property they found," and this is just reiterating, "or whatever it was they swore falsely about, they must make restitution in full and add a fifth of the value to it and give it all to the owner of the day they present their guilt offering. And as a penalty, they must bring to the priest," that is, to the Lord, "their guilt offering." We're going to talk a little bit about that. "A ram from the flock, one without defect and of the proper value. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them before the Lord, and they will be forgiven for any of the things they did that made them guilty." So sin offering, guilt offering, that's how I look at it, because when we're in sin, we have guilt, shame, remorse, all that stuff, right? It's the atonement for sin. Jesus paid a tremendous price for our sins. His life was a blood sacrifice, the Lamb. He's the Lamb. And amends for our sins against God and his kingdom, the government. It's a courtroom. There's a courtroom in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is our atonement to sin towards God. Now, a 9th step. Now, we already have, we're right with the Lord, but we're not right with people. So it's our responsibility here on earth. Jesus is not on earth with us. Okay? He's already made everything whole between us and the Father, God. We're okay. We can be in his presence, you know, we can go to him, we can say, you know, what would you have me do in this situation? We can go to the Word, he will talk with us, But this is the thing. If there's aught between me and another person, God's saying, you can't come to me holy, pure, the way they had the sin offering for people, right? God made it pure for him and us, but we need to make it right between us and humanity, man, here on earth. So that's why we do this. This is why we, because, you know, there are people that will say, well, God did it all, you know, but we still have to interact with the people. You know, we can have our relationship with God and how you say, James, you know, our horizontal, vertical relationship affects our horizontal relationship.
Yeah, what I say is if people asking about, well, how do you forgive, especially when you start explaining the causes of diseases, different things, unforgiveness causes, like arthritis and stuff, they, well, how do you forgive? I'm like, well, if you don't have a horizontal, if you don't have a vertical relationship, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, you're not going to be able to really forgive somebody because there's no reason to, unless you're maybe, unless you're understanding you could get healed by doing it. But we're doing it because we love the Lord and he commands us to do it over and over. And everywhere he talks about healing in James and in Mark 11, 23, 24, the next verse in most of those verses says, and if you have aught against another, forgive that you may be healed.
Amen.
And it's like purposely written right after the verse. And we see a lot of people that can't get healed when they forgive. And a lot of times God will give us a name or show them. And but if you know you're doing it for the Lord, the way I look at it is I'm giving him a hug, like you're giving him a kiss, like an intimate thing, because you're only doing it for him. And he knows that. You're eating the crow for him because you're not doing it for the person. And you sure don't want to do it, but you realize it's messing your relationship up with the Lord. And it's like an intimate thing for me, like he knows.
Yeah. And not only that, but it also gives God access to you fully so that he can influence that person. You know, what you're doing is you're saying, God, here I am. Use me to touch this person. But if you have aught, and aught is not only, when we say forgive so you can be forgiven, you could be healed. Healed in the mind, physically,
finances,
disease, finances, family, right, in relationships. We're talking about healed completely in every area of your life. So,
and that's Matthew 18.
Amen.
He said, throw him, his wife, his children, and everything he owns into prison.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So we need to be the atonement for sin towards other people. Man, that's what God we're doing. And when I say that, it means Jesus gave his life. We have to be willing to adjust our life to do God's will. That's basically what I'm saying. So what am I willing to put down? What in my life that will help me join God to some person, place, or thing? You know, maybe it's maybe it's the system at work. You know, maybe God wants to touch the system at work. It's not only people, places, and things in my life. They affect us. I always say also, I want to be the one affecting to infect others with God and his influence. Or you can easily be affected and infected by the wrong thing if you allow it. So you could be the one that brings God's word, will, plan everywhere you go, his pleasure, his desires. So if it's my responsibility through obedience, that's why obedience is so important, because if I'm not willing to submit and surrender my will, my desires, my plans, all of that. So that's why as an act of my will, I give God. As an act of my will, I know you say forgiveness, choose to forgive, right? Towards God, I have to be obedient to God, his word, to bring a trespass offering to God, meaning to God, meaning I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm pure, I'm in his presence by making an amends, reconciliation. If I'm going to do it, like James said, it has to be unto the Lord. I'm not doing it because I need that person to love me, forgive. I mean, it's nice that the person does. I mean, I'm not saying that, but they might
not. Some of them are not.
Some of them aren't. Right, exactly. Some of them won't. Some of them, they're not going to say, oh, it's okay. They might even get more. It's just the fact that you're doing it unto the Lord, and he's got you. He knows what that person needs. Maybe they did need to get upset or something because they need to see how you respond to it.
Because it even applies to dead people.
Yeah.
So you can't make them happy,
That's right.
But you can still suffer from unforgiveness. It's very common.
Right.
For someone that's passed.
So what is a trespass? Trespass. Sin, when we sin against, we enter the owner's land. We've trespassed God a lot in our lives until we confessed our sins, you know, and accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He did it all for us. So sometimes we're trespassing other people's territories without permission, commit an offense against a person or a set of rules, people, places, and things, to fall or miss the mark. Someone who falls throws himself, and sometimes I say, you know, you ever feel beside yourself? Well, that's one of them right there, right? willingly to the enemy. It's like we're giving ourselves to these thoughts of anger, resentment, jealousy, envy, fear, worry. This is what we're doing. We're letting the enemy trespass on our territory, or we're bringing that into someone else's territory. We have to think about, that's why it's in our minds first, the soul. That's the territory that the darkness and light have access to. That's where the battlefield is. And that's why the heart needs to be influenced by truth, because it's the truth that will, the heart that will change the thoughts and the actions and the words that we speak. But if my heart is on the wrong things, the treasures of my heart, where are they? Then it's going to speak, act, and think the wrong things. So willingly to the enemy, or without knowing that certain words or actions are sinful. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I used to say, and I sometimes will say it, and I catch myself because I understand today, because the truth made me free. I can't take this anymore. Doing the laundry, cleaning the house. You know, the things that are like, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like things like that.
There's so many things we say.
Right.
If you really start getting where you're discerning the spirits, you actually see what's really going on.
Amen.
And we don't battle against flesh and blood. You start realizing like the
what
last thing.
Yeah.
If he does one more thing,
right.
Well, that thing is going to make sure he does one more thing now. Or so, I'm quitting my job. If, whatever you're putting out there, you got to just hold that in, because you just gave your hand. It's like boxing somebody and go, if he hits me one more time with that right hand, I'm done.
Yeah.
He's going to start hitting you with the right hand. I mean, we got to
watch
our
mouth. I sometimes say that too. I'm done. You know I'm not. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
But I give access, trespass. You know what I mean? It's like, oh. So I say, Father, forgive me. I am totally not done. What would you have me do next? You know, but that's how simple. Sometimes we're not aware. It can alter our day, you know, and then we want to know why we're having a bad day. And, you know, God showed me a long time ago. He said, remember all the times like you wish somebody dead? I wish they were dead. He goes, I love you guys so much that I don't take everything. Imagine. That's why he knows our heart, because in my heart, I don't really wish that person dead. It was my head. God loves us, but he knows our heart. He knows I didn't want that person dead, you know, and that's what we're saying. So the opposite is true, too. If I'm saying I love you, but I really don't, he knows that, too.
Amen.
So repent is not only admitting sin, but to turning from doing sinful acts against God, yourself, and others. Making an amends is repairing what is broken to make right. Or even better than it was in the original state. So guilt, shame, remorse, condemnation can only be removed, pulled out by the root, when we confess to the offender, the person that we've harmed to. You know, we confess to God. First, if we have aught with anybody, the first person we offend is God. We trespass because he wants love all the time. So he's the first person I should go to. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for being jealous of this person. You know, forgive me. And then we open the passage with him. We're pure and we can go. That's why the 10th step is where it is too, because I can't do an inventory and expect to be in his presence if I'm not cleaning up my mess. You know, I'm proper, a good inventory is what I mean. Because we clean it up so that we can do the service work that is loving others. If I'm all full of junk inside, I'm going to give junk to other people. So the offend, we do that with the offender, first God, then another person. to release, so we can release that person from the tormentor also, you know, because I'm sure if I'm the last person, they heard me going, bah, 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 but when they're driving, they're hearing, bah, 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 and that's allowing the tormentor to get into them too,
mm-hmm.
right? So understanding the principle, the spiritual principle of love, which is brotherly love that we had, and forgiveness, honoring, discipline is key. Forgiveness is the key to making amends. If I can't forgive, if I didn't forgive in five, all those people with another person that I had on my fourth step, it's going to be very hard to bring forgiveness because I don't have forgiveness to be an offering to another person.
So, and one way you can tell, because that spirit will keep everything, you may be burying it down, but the minute they do something wrong, you immediately
comes up again.
Bring up everything mm-hmm. they've done, or it comes right to your mind. So all that past that they've wronged you just immediately comes up, because it's, you
have
a really,
that's when you know
forgiven.
You have a resentment, for sure.
Yeah.
Resentment, you're replaying sometimes. And what did I say in the fourth step? I do sometimes you play it and then you rewind, then you play it in slow motion. You know, then you're like going on and on. You want to see it.
Well, when it attacks me, I imagine telling them what I wished I would have told them.
Yeah. Right.
Sometimes I talk out loud and I wonder if the guy next door is. I'm immediately like, forgive me, Lord.
Yes.
Man, what am I doing?
Amen.
I look crazy.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 18-19 says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is what we're called to do. So that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Jesus came to exchange his life for our life. He gave death for life. God's reconciliation is for everyone who repents and changes their thinking and behavior from their ways to God's ways. Even those who haven't, he did it for them. They just don't know him. They don't know that they have it. So they're living in darkness. They're living in condemnation, in whatever it is that's tormenting them, torment. And they may die that way and never know God. And then I was sharing with someone about hell. I think it was my brother. I said, the problem, he goes, you know, hell is darkness. You don't even have light. You have no presence of God. You have memory. You might have, the knowledge of knowing that when you could have turned your life, or knowing that. And that's the real torment. But never having access. Here we have access even when we don't know it, because God's all around us all the time, you know, mm-hmm. waiting for us patiently. Hallelujah.
There's a lady who was on Sid Roth, second most viewed show he had ever had. It used
really?
To be, and
I
she had
Sid
had
Roth.
A hell experience. And I met that lady.
Mm.
And
I read the book, right?
Yeah,
that's the book.
That's the book. She gave me a whole case of books for free.
Amen.
Because she wasn't out to sell them. She was just a down-to-earth,
mm-hmm.
like, housewife, mother, whatever you call her.
She was all of
but
that.
She was, she said when that happened, she instantly, she went into like a vision or whatever. She's on the floor screaming in this, is it Mike Bickles? And she'd been delivered first. The Lord appeared to her the first three times she went there, delivered her. She was a chain smoker, smoking in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
She was on antidepressants and went to kill herself. The enemy told her, you got to kill your daughters too. And she came there and got totally delivered.
Amen.
In
yep.
a vision with the Lord. And mm-hmm. took, it was like a long vision.
Right in the service, yeah.
Yeah. And came back on fire for God, and the husband and kids couldn't stand her.
Yeah.
They'd rather have been in bed.
Yeah. She was depressed, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. She was very bad. And then, so he went to get her straightened out. You're doing something wrong. He goes there. He had a vision, and he come back on fire. The kids were like, you're supposed to fix mom, not come back like her. And then, so then she kept going out there, and she went and had a vision where she went into hell, and she knew it was for unforgiveness. She knew everything she ever did. She knew she was rightfully judged. And she said she had full recollect, and I never thought about that. She said she could tell you every single thing in her refrigerator on any given day of her life. Because you're not thinking with this computer brain we have, this flesh thing. You're in spirit. you have full recollect. And so that was pretty wild.
I'm getting the, I think I have the book. I'm going to see if I can share it with people to listen to if they wanted to get the book. But
it's a really good book.
It is a very good book.
It'll really get you to start forgiving. It really makes it clear.
Is it Regions of Captivity?
No, that's no. Anna Mendez.
Oh, that's Anna. Okay.
It's Ditto, I think. Was her name? Laura, Lori Ditto.
I might not have it on this, but we'll get that information. You can Google it while I move forward.
Yeah, you go ahead and talk.
But I really think it was a very good book, so I would recommend that for people who are skeptic or want to know more. So how have I trespassed, offended thee? And that's the awakening in step five. When we do a step five with another person, that's our fourth step right now, you know, when we do our fear, resentment, fears, and harms done to others, we should be talking about, it should flip, you know, turning our minds from what the world is, people, places in the world have done to me, to when you get to the last column with somebody, oh my, you know, all of what I've been doing, to be in, the hell conspiracy.
Yes, the hell conspiracy.
Lori Ditto, right?
Lori Ditto.
Lori Ditto. Yeah. All right. So if you want to get that book, and if you didn't get that information, you could always call me, 631-745-7980.
And I don't believe half the stuff I hear on the internet, or more than half, as far as going, the visions and stuff, it's just everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's doing this. Mm-hmm. But that you could tell when I talked to her, that's a real.
That is real.
And it was the second most viewed Sid Roth show ever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what was I saying? Well, yeah, step five, we should be at a place now where we've turned the mirror to look at ourselves and say, okay, obviously I have some patterns here that I believe some lies that I've been using in order to, you know, get what I wanted or get away with what I wanted. You know, so a trespass offering by reconciliation with people, places, and things. When we steal, cheat, lie, gossip, sex harms, or making gain for oneself, we return the amount and pay 20 on top. And listen, 20 on top doesn't have to be of what it is. It should be, but if you can't, that's fine. Maybe it's time, you know. Time, things, the word, money, strife, division. These are things that we've done. Offense, any sin that separates me from God, me from myself, and me from others. When I clean the wreckage, I get closer to God. Once we remove, then we get even closer. We can get even closer, not only to God, but closer to ourselves, like our inner man. We can trust our inner man even more because we have a relationship with God and other people. When we're discerning, we're using spiritual wisdom and discerning. Discerning is not so that I know what's going on with that person so I can beat them up or maybe keep them out of my life. It's really to draw us closer, actually.
Yeah, discerning the spirits, he really doesn't give that much. I felt like this is impression. I didn't hear a voice, but I felt like he does show me the impression. I felt like he said he couldn't give it to many people because they had immediately judged people by what they saw in them.
Right, and it does. That's exactly what I find people, I done it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But now that it is the truth, it's receiving, accepting in my heart the truth that I can catch myself.
Yeah, and it's having compassion and praying for those people
mercy.
That they're taken captive by the enemy.
Man.
It's not them.
And when you do understand more fully demons, you actually get visions or visuals in your mindset of what that looks like, them being tortured, you know, and it's, nobody wants that. Okay, so go ahead, James.
We like certain demons, so I just got to say that. It's like
people
that
have
fear
of
man, people pleasing, and everybody loves them. Mm-hmm. And then someone with the spirit of jealousy and anger, they run, you know, and they're both spirits. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But even anger, some people love. I did in the past. Anger gave me an excuse.
And it also gives them power over people.
Right.
Because they can manipulate with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, because they come, when you teach deliverance, they always come, and the one that's getting manipulated always wants you to pray for their spouse that's got the anger problem.
Yeah, the other person.
Yeah. the spouse doesn't want prayer because he's doing good. Yeah, it's working.
That's good discernment. Oh, this
it could be the man or the woman.
We got to help this person. Yes. Hallelujah.
He's like, I don't have no problem. What do you mean?
So many ways to make an amend for our trespasses is through money, time, service, gifts. Every amend should feel like a sacrifice at first. It should. I'm sorry. You know, it really does. It should. I mean, it does for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm that selfish that, you know, but I feel that, like, even picking up the phone for someone that agitates me, picking up the phone is a way of me expressing love, or, you know, like trying to practice, because, you know, I don't want to be on the other side of that. So direct amends, we talk about different types of amends, even in the literature of the 12 steps. And God talks about amends too. Taking personal responsibility for our actions and confronting the person who you would like to reconcile with. That's a direct amends. When you can go to the person, you can actually, and sometimes we have to wait on those. Sometimes we could do them immediately. We also, if we're working with another person, hopefully someone who's spiritually fit, mature in Christ, in the kingdom, because they'll help you know when to fold them and know when to throw, you know, hold them. when it's a good time. And through prayer, fasting, there's many ways that prepare us to be able to make some of these amends.
And you know, when you fast, you put your flesh under, and if you never fasted, when you actually fast, and say you're on the third day, you're like, I'll forgive anybody, I'll do anything, and I'll never get out. I just want to eat, I'll do anything just to have food. It's funny how much you change your whole, and then the minute you eat, it's all back.
Yeah, no, it's true. I'm finding that even, you know, with the experience my son went through. Very easily we forget when we are stripped of things for a time, and then we're ready to do anything anybody says. Mm-hmm. Then you get them back and you're like, what? What do you mean? You know, and
that's
me
where
too.
People make a lot of, you know, promises to
I'm
God.
I'm not just saying like, him. I'm just using it because I've seen it, what you're saying. But I've done it in the past too. You know,
I know. I grew up.
As an ex-drug user, believe me, I've done it.
Well, I like never wore a seatbelt. I mean, you didn't have to when I started driving. Right. You know, it's your choice. And then I just didn't wear them maybe once a year or two, like if I had a feeling or something. And then when I had that attack in 2002, when God sent the lady to fast the 40 days for me, and I had never felt nothing like that. And I remember, I didn't think I was ever going to be normal. I was praying for him to take my life. But I remember getting in the car and I said, Lord, you deliver me this spirit of death. I'll wear this seatbelt as a covenant the rest of my life. And every time I get in the car, it's like, it's every, you know what I mean? It's just like, and I think, man, you got to be careful what promises you make, because I've kept the promise, but I'm like, it's just right there in my face every time I get in the car. If I'm going to go over there, down the right over there, I got to put on, I can't go
That's
across
right.
the street.
Nope.
I promise.
And you know, when I say that as an ex drug addict, what I mean is as an ex victim of the spirit of addiction, you know, because that's really what it was. Because I'm free, and I'm, you know, I'm not that person, and I'm, because I'm a new identity. I'm a new man today, a new human in my life. So I don't even identify with that person. Praise the Lord. Even when if I go to a meeting, first of all, I'm there because it's a ministry, and I'm there to represent the kingdom of God. And I say I'm a grateful member, because I am. I am a grateful member. It gives me a place where I can bring the Lord and help others out of darkness. So I just want to share that with people, because that's another thing. I don't want to identify as that old person. You know, even when I'm sharing about my life, I'm very selective or conscious, God conscious about how I'm sharing it. So indirect amends is finding ways to repair damage that cannot be reversed or undone by doing things like volunteering and helping others. So some things can't be undone because they're a long time ago. Maybe somebody passed away. All those things, you know. But we can do in our deed, in the way we offer ourselves in in life, volunteering, if it was something with, I don't know, stealing or something. If you want to do a food bank, you know, you can volunteer there. There's so many ways to make an amends. And God just loves when we're serving other people too, especially in our community. A living amends is a lifestyle. When you show others as well as yourself that you have made a genuine lifestyle change, that's the highest level of praise and worship to the Lord and to the world, basically. Everything in the world is waiting for us to do that. Right? Every tree, every blade of grass is waiting for us to live right.
Waiting for the sons of God to come forth.
Yes! Hallelujah! So that's like the greatest way to make an amends. It's just change. Fully sell yourself out to the Lord. Throw your life in there and say, have everything. Everything, amen. Right?
What do you got to lose?
You have nothing to lose. Everything. You gain everything with him.
Well, if you love the world, yeah. You do.
Well, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and are making a commitment to yourself and those that have hurt you. This is a living an amends. When you do that, you're making a commitment to yourself and the people that have hurt you and the people that you've hurt, right? So praise God. So 9 is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And you need good judgment. You need sound mind. And that's wisdom of God. That's Godhead, Christhead, the word judgment. Bring everything to him, every thought captive, take captive and bring to the obedience of God's word. Bring every word that you speak to the obedience of God's word. Every action that you take, does it line up with what Jesus would do? Praise God. A careful sense of timing, courage, and prudence. That's the wisdom, the forethought, the planning, the care. I turn my will and my love over to the care of God. What does that look like? What does his care look like for me? What is his will for me? Peace of mind. That's called discernment, right? When we understand spiritual things. And that it's not against people, flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. And it's the ability to judge well. All right? It's to obtain spiritual guidance, to want spiritual guidance, to seek spiritual guidance, to desire spiritual guidance, and not what would the world do? What would the word do? What would Jesus do? So principles, values, and character of God is making an amend. In making an amends are, as Jesus Christ did for me, I do unto others. If you're unsure about how to love, how to give grace and mercy and forgiveness, read all the red in the Bible. Read about Jesus, how he spoke, how he thought, what his actions were. That's all examples of God's grace, love, mercy, kindness, goodness, all of it, right? Healing.
The fruit of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit. So justice, restoration, reconciliation, and forgiveness. That's love, grace, mercy, right? Justice is just behavior or treatment. The quality of being morally right or justifiable. Am I justifiable in my actions, in my words, in my thoughts? Do they line up with God? If they don't, then I'm going to be judged by, I'm letting the world judge me. Am I going to let the word judge me or the world judge me? And then I never feel good enough. I never feel worthy or I'm feeling condemned, shame, guilt when I allow the world to judge my words and my actions. But if they line up with God's word, that all goes away. There's freedom in doing that in your life, because he loves me, he forgives me, he restores me. So restoration is the action of returning something to a former owner, place, or condition. So I am God's. He made me. I belong to him. I return myself to him to do as he wills. You know, it's like I was talking to someone else, and I was talking about the like a whirlpool. They want to stand by their name. They want it to perform at a certain level and do what it says it's going to do. God wants that for us too. Amends is to make better, improve, or put right. Reconciliation is the restoration of friendly relationships. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That means he wants bridges down. He wants the love bridge down. We can't be stingy with our love. the action of making one view or belief compatible with another. I need to line up with God. Compatible. I had worldly views, family views, generational views, sinful views. Now I have godly views. And whenever those views try to draw me in, I have to seek God first and his righteousness, and these things will be added, and he starts drawing me into him. Hallelujah. And that's for everybody. He loves us all. What he's done for me, he's already done for you too, who's ever listening here. It's for all of us. So Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So we're supposed to be bringing peace wherever we go. We're making peace wherever we go, because he created that in us, for us. Peacemakers bring goodwill, law, and order, harmony with them, as Jesus did, even if others aren't receptive, or there are thoughts of doubt and mistrust in the room, rolling of the eyes. They're like, here's that person. Confusion or disorder. Even when there's chaos going on, we can bring peace. Because he left it to us to bring to the world. Because he brought it to the world and he gave it to us. Right?
Yeah, I knew someone once, because there's just certain reactions that spirits have. Like
yes.
People looking down, getting mm-hmm. hunched. And yeah. I came out of that with the rejection. And pride will like jerk its head back and cross its arms uh-huh. sometimes. Let me tell you. And I knew someone that had so much pride. She'd just really rip her husband apart, and I was on the phone with her. She says, yeah, you know, I see in this book where pride will make you, and I had to keep from crossing my arms and jerking my head back. She's still doing the same thing, yelling all the stuff, but she thinks somehow it's okay because she's not jerking her head back.
She's not manifesting it in her body, yeah.
That was kind of funny.
But that's true. You when you start to recognize spirits, you know, because you know God's word and the Holy Spirit's teaching you, and you're out there casting out demons and doing that. They do have some gestures, body gestures. There's things that they do.
And the rolling of the eyes.
Yeah. Oh, I had that. I had to watch myself in the meetings because I'd be like, oh, good. Judgment, you know, like pride. Like they don't know what they're talking about. And I had to stop.
We're all right in our own mind.
Amen. And I'm supposedly bringing Christ there.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Thank you, Father. Right? So, peacemakers bring goodwill, law, and order, harmony with them, as Jesus did, even if we have people that don't want to respond to it, they're not receptive, they're doubtful, they mistrust, they have all that stuff going on, we still are peacemakers. We are makers of peace, sons and daughters of God, made in his image, sent to build back bridges as the lost need to be able to cross over to the kingdom of God. Where, if we're living right with God, and you know we're hungry to help others and expand the kingdom of God, people will see the joy on the other side of your bridge and want some of that, because there's a lot of sadness and confusion and fear going on in the world. People in the world are going to see bridges where there's light and joy and peace when in the midst of the chaos. They're going to want that, but they need to see it. If the bridge is up, they can't see it.
I remember I was working at the reserve. I did like all the irrigation out there, mm-hmm. like one of the only ones out there at one point. And I had to dig this main line like 3 feet deep on Christmas Eve. Didn't have anybody could work. And I was sick and I was throwing up every 5 minutes and I felt so ill. And I dug that whole thing in. And then the next week they called me to come out there and they had ripped the whole thing out. And the guy's like, the project manager's like, I don't understand you. Like, wait a minute. No matter what we do to you, you never get mad. And I just started explaining to the Lord, and I got in the truck with him and led him to the Lord.
Amen.
Accepted the Lord.
Amen. So I'm just going to read one more scripture, and then we'll pray, because we're running out of time, and we'll continue next week. But Matthew 5:23-26 says, therefore, if you are offended, offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary. And that's and I say adversary is settle matters with jealousy, envy, all that. Forget about the person. We're trying to get people to see the spirit that's involved here, that's trying to manipulate, right? Who is taking you to court? Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary, guilt, shame, whatever it is that you think it's the person, but it's really the spirit, the dispute, the conflict, the enemy, may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. So with that, we're going to start with that next week, because it's a good one, and we want to talk more about it. But James, you want to, we love everyone. We're just going to say a quick prayer.
Okay. Father, I ask you to bless everyone at the sound of my ears.
Yeah.
We ask, Lord, that you just pour your love into everyone. You've showed your love at the cross and help them to receive your love. I always pray for more revelation. I pray you give them more revelation of your love for them, Father, that we can walk confidently before the world in your love and love everyone, even those that are wronging us. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And what he said was at the sound of his voice. Yeah. And your ears. And we love everyone. And you're listening to Kingdom Recovery. It's every week, Friday, 5 o'clock on WCNO 89.9. And we just want to just wish everyone prayers for a happy week. God bless you all. Shalom, shalom. I agape you.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Alzheimer's or dementia are terrible diseases affecting 7 million. Memory issues can be driven by the large number of medications that seniors take. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has a proprietary tool that identifies drug-to-drug interactions that cause cognitive impairment and then prescribes alternatives. In the study of the Alzheimer's Treatment Center's protocol, 75% of the patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. Now open in Port St. Lucie, they may be reached at ATCA.AI or 772-298-4477.